Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news this Tuesday morning, the 9th of December. We're waking up to 3 points from Manchester United. A very comprehensive win. Want to talk about your reaction to that now you've hopefully woken up. Some of you may not have been to bed. I suppose it depends where you are in the world. Also, Mainoo told to leave Manchester United. We'll delve into that. Big update around January transfers. Also, Garnacho talking about, does he have any regrets about leaving Man United? We'll talk about that as well. Also, want to talk about, you know, where are you this morning? Are you in the group of people that are sharing clips of Bruno saying he's world-class in the midfield? Are you a realist? Are you an idiot? Are you intelligent? Are you thinking we're on the way back? Are you seeing improvement? Are you still having concerns? I think it's going to be a really interesting show this morning. So looking forward to it as always. Look, fundamentally, it's nice to win. You know, I think that's always a good thing. It's a positive. I think Wolves were dreadful, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And it's about time that we won a game of football convincingly. So I take the positives from that. But there's a lot more I want to talk about. Robert McCormack says 5 wins, 1 draw and 1 loss when Mount starts. I do want to talk about Mason Mount because I want to talk about like scratching the surface of the positivity, because I think Mason Mount played fantastically well last night. But did you know in the 3 years he's been here, he's been available for 26% of our game time? And I'm waking up this morning and people are going, mate, Mount's so important to our future. Mason Mount this, Mason Mount that. Oh, he's bloody brilliant. Mason Mount's going to be the player that gets his back running. I'm like, we'll factually go through it. But basically, 26% of our game time he's been available for in 3 years. 26%.
5%. And we're waking up this morning to people saying this is the guy that's going to be part of our rebuild. The guy's in his mid-20s, and in the last 3 years, not including Chelsea, he can't even get near 40% fitness for our game. So, you know, I think that terrifies me that I'm waking up this morning to people, you know, pronouncing Mason Mount as the great saviour of Manchester United. It's just ridiculously ill-informed. But, you know, we can go through that. Look, I like Mason Mount, but we bought a dud. That's the bottom line. And, you know, I'm sure he's a nice lad and he played really well against Wolves last night. But the minutes availability is shocking. And the only reason he's playing more games this year is because we're playing one game a week. If we were back in Europe, I don't think we'd be seeing him play at all. Anyway, let's start off with Mainoo. So, look, very strong message coming out last night from two former Man United players, Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes, around Mainoo. We did see Mainoo get some minutes last night. We are approaching the January transfer window. Was 10 minutes against Wolves enough for you to think that, you know, he's part of Amrim's plans? I thought the interesting contradiction was that Ugarte got no minutes when he took Casemiro off and he brought Mainoo on for Casemiro, despite spending months telling us that Mainoo is Bruno's replacement. Mainoo came on for Casemiro. Now, look, some people have jumped on that as a reason to have a go at Amrim. I don't think we can read too much into that. I think, you know, you could bring Mainoo on for Yoro. It wouldn't have mattered. We're playing Wolves. He could have played right back. He could have played in goal. I don't think him coming on for Casemiro means that he, you know, he's seen as a replacement for Casemiro. I think it was the fact that Wolves were so bad. You could have put me in the midfield for the last 10 minutes. So was it a token 10 minutes and keep his favourite Bruno on? Or was it, you know, an actual insight to he might use him in Casemiro's position? We'll have to wait and see. But the reality is, this is what Nicky Butt said. For his football career, he has to leave Manchester United. He's lost 18 months of development. I hope he goes abroad because it's embarrassing. If he goes to Chelsea, which they might go and get him, they are putting together a very good squad. And then Paul Scholes on the same podcast said, if Chelsea come in for him, I'd tell him to go there. So two very strong messages from Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes, former midfielders of Manchester United, basically saying it's embarrassing what Man United have done to Mainoo over the last 18 months and he needs to go for his own career. Paul Scholes even saying I would advise him to go to Chelsea. So, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? I think at Chelsea, as John says, where would he even play at Chelsea? They've got Reece James, they've got Caicedo, they've got Santos, they've got Enzo Fernandez. So where would Mainoo play? But the stupid thing is he would get minutes. Like if Chelsea want him, he would get minutes. He'd be getting half an hour here. He'd be playing in Europe, you know, so he probably would. But I don't really care where Mainoo goes. I've said this before. I think Nicky Butt was the biggest loss from that Man United, you know, backroom staff since Sir Alex Ferguson, because the feedback from people, younger players, players in general that were there when he was there, was that he really knew the club. He knew what he was on about and it looked like, you know, he could build into a bigger role than what he had. He was basically the go-between between the youth and the senior team. And he got fed up with how the club was being run. I think when he says something like that, you've got to listen to it. And I think he's spot on. And it's something that we've said, like Mainoo does need to go. 10 minutes against Wolves is not minutes. I don't think it is. We're going to talk about where Man United are and where Amrim is. But this story is a big story. And we are approaching, in 3 weeks, January the 1st. We've got to let him go and he's got to go. It's a joke. It is embarrassing. And I do agree with Nicky Butt that he's lost 18 months of development. When you look at where he was 18 months ago playing in a Euros final, we've done nothing with him in 18 months. You know, from being 18 and a half to 20, we've done nothing. There's been no... And I think people miss out on this, and I think it's a great point from Nicky Butt. There is the whole, I've got to pick a team to win games, you know, and we did win last night. But there is the whole, we've got a really talented player here that we absolutely... It's like somebody who's on the treadmill getting fit and then you say, get off the treadmill. Can I get back on now? No. Can I get back on now? No. And they lose that fitness. It's the same with development. For 18 months, what have we done to, even on a very mercenary level, maintain the value of Mainoo? I mean, I would say 18 months ago, you could have... If somebody come in 18 months ago after that Euros final and said, we want Mainoo, I guarantee... Imagine Real Madrid or Barcelona had come in. We would have gone... forget it. And if you want him, 80 million. You would laugh at that now. I mean, what's Maynou worth now? 40? 40 million? I think 18 months ago, you'd be saying, well, he's not for sale anyway, and if you want him, you've got to pay stupid money. What have we done as a football club to develop him over the last 18 months? And that's a football club stance. I mean, I agree with Nicky Butt. I agree with Paul Scholes. From a player point of view, he's got to get out. He's got to get out. He's getting no development. He's getting no minutes. I mean, how many minutes did Maynou play in November? Somebody tell me. I guarantee you it won't even be 100 in a whole month. How many minutes has he played in December? It's December the 9th. He's probably played, you know, less than an hour. It ain't good enough. And there's been plenty of opportunity where he could have been used over the last few weeks. There's been plenty of games where we could have given him more game time. We're not developing him. He's got to be given game time. We've got to let him go in January. And I think those people, and I see them in the chat coming in and going, he's slow, he's not very good, he's this, that and the other. Mate, whether that's the case or not, it doesn't change the fact that he needs to go. I don't think we're even talking about whether he's going to get minutes at Man United anymore. If you think he's crap, then that's a perfect example of why we need to let him go. Many of us believe there's a talent there and we need to let him go. My concern is United seem to have this weird mentality. We're not going to use him, but we're not going to let him go. You know, we're almost going to keep destroying his career. It's a weird take for a club that's meant to be about developing youth. It's a really bad message, actually. It's a really bad message for a club that used to have a, you know, identity. You know, why are we doing this to younger players? It's really, really strange. So look, I think it's very interesting, and I think that, you know, they're right. I think he does need game time. And of course, we're talking about something after a good win for United, but it doesn't change the fact that, you know, there are people this morning who were saying it's fucking Wolves. You know, let's not pretend that we're back. I mean, we are. I mean, look, as I said, we're waking up to people saying Mason Mount's the future, and I'm like, have you looked at the last 3 years? Seriously? You know? So look, I think that with regards to Maynou, something's got to change. I know some people are still hoping in the AFCON that he's going to get more minutes and, you know, fingers crossed. But I don't think he's going to shift Bruno from the midfield in the AFCON. I really don't. I think there's a very simple thing that he can do. If Maguire and Dalot are back, that covers off Mazraoui. You can put Dalot right wing back instead of Ahmad or Mazraoui. You can put Dorgu left wing back or even Luke Shaw left wing back with Martinez back. That covers off that problem. In the midfield, you just keep playing Casemiro and Bruno. And in your front three, you've got people like Sesko back, Xerxes, Cunha and Mount. So there is no definitive pathway for Maynou into the first team just because of the AFCON. And I'd like to be wrong on that, but I don't think there is. So look, I think that there's got to be a solution for Manchester United. There has to be a solution. And I hope that, you know, Amorim, Wilcox and Berarda are going to stick to their stance of how they've treated him over the last 4 months and let him go in January. Absolutely. Because, you know, it's really important. Talk of the Devil says the channel in chat is toxic. It's a news show, mate. And we're talking about a news piece from Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes about Maynou. We're not creating that story. And instead of saying people that you cannot argue with or debate with are toxic, grow up and actually tell us what your problem is, because we'll read it out, mate. It's not a problem. But, you know, these people, it's like, you remind me of the people who go, if we'd beaten Everton, we'd be 3 points off the top. At what point did we deserve to beat Everton? Oh, if we'd beaten Everton and West Ham, we'd be in a title race. At what point did we deserve to beat West Ham? You know, it's almost like you wake up and I don't actually get you people, actually. You know, let's open that door up straight away. I don't get these people who wake up after beating Wolves 4-1. They're knocking one out to Bruno Fernandes compilations. They're telling us Mason Mount's the future. They're telling us Amrim's the guy. They're telling us we'd be in a title race if we hadn't lost to Everton. And that, you know, they're doing screenshots of league tables going, look how tight it is. And I'm like, let's scratch the surface of this for a moment, right? We've got to go and beat Bournemouth next week and then we'll talk. My stance is go and beat Bournemouth and then we'll talk. I really hope Amrim can turn this around. I really do. But Wolves, to me, doesn't give us anything. They are the worst team I've watched in years. Absolutely ridiculous. absolutely ridiculous. And I think that, you know, Muzz says, what do you mean by you people? Well, make up a word, chuff monster, morons, idiots. I mean, I don't even have a word for you. I don't have a word for people who think that people have standards are toxic. I don't have a word for people who are waking up this morning being positive, saying everything's good. I respect the fact that some people are doing it and that's life, but I don't actually have a word for you because there's just so many. Naive would probably be the number one word, but yeah, there's plenty of words. I mean, look, you're using words against those people who've got standards. It's reciprocal. I'm sorry, you know, the abuse you're giving us for being real, for having standards. Oh, but you don't like it when it comes back, does it? Oh, no, we should all wake up this morning, be really happy. Pass me my phone. Let me start liking all the players' Instagram posts. Oh, yeah, you are cooking, Bruno. You're fucking cooking. You're brilliant. Oh, here's another one. No, sod off. We have standards. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But I think what it is it might be age. I think some of the younger people have got no concept of what the standards of this football club was. If you've grown up over the last 13 years watching this, you're probably thinking, hey, this is looking all right. But if you're slightly older and you actually understand what Manchester United is, then you will have standards. And some of the younger crew have standards as well. But there are some people out there that seem to think a win and their favourite player doing well is all that matters. And that is probably a fairer assumption. I think we just have people now who, as long as their favourite player does well, that's fundamentally what they're, you know, focused on. But look, one thing I want to talk about before we get into that, because it is a news show. I did see this from last night, and I think it would be foolish not to bring this in. So Andy Mitten mentioned this. Obviously, he's on The Athletic. He said, this was last night before the game. So look, and obviously The Athletic do get stuff from the club fed down, journalistic, client journalism. You know, they're in cahoots with the club, so they do get stuff. And they're not going to write shit because obviously they want to maintain those relationships. So Andy Mitten says this, I'd be surprised if there's movement in January. I wouldn't be stunned. The types of players that United are going for are exceptionally good and their clubs do not want to sell them in January. There was a needs must situation 5 years ago when the form was so bad that they needed to go out and sign Bruno. But I'd be surprised if a main target came in January. But I'd be happily proved wrong. There's smart people at the club working on the type of deals they'd like to do, and lots of agents are offering their players to United. I've spoken to them, and some of them correspondents, a polite thank you, but no thanks on certain players. Goes on to say, United know which areas they want to try and improve. United want a couple of central midfielders, another attacker on one of the wingers, and a central defender. These won't happen overnight, and it's still probably two or three more transfer windows before the squad looks as complete as how United want it to look. If United can get it to that point without changing coaches. So effectively, what is, I would say, probably a very good brief from high up at the football club. Do not expect any signings in January because United are looking at bigger targets that won't move in January. And also, it could take two or three transfer windows to get in two midfielders, a centre-back and a wide player. I mean, we beat Wolves. Let's focus on the positive there. But that is terrifying. I mean, the standards at this football club are in the mud. I mean, what the hell is going on? Two or three transfer windows to bring in players we needed last summer. We're not going to do anything in January because we're focusing on big players in the summer. I mean, apparently we've got good people at the club. I can't... Look, stupid people can be good people, I suppose, but I cannot understand a football club of the magnificence of Manchester United to be sat there going, we won't do anything in January because the players we want won't be available till the summer. But the players we want in the summer will go elsewhere. Like, you can't say we're not going to buy in January because we want Elliot Anderson and then Elliot Anderson signs for City and you go, oh, we missed January then. Like, it's It's incredible. I mean, Ladios, where's the money coming from for January? I mean, I'm surprised at you, Ladios. You're a moderator. You should listen more. We bid £60 million for Belabor in the summer. Where's that money gone then? It's still there. So we still have the money. But the big concern here is, one, not doing anything in January means that this season is going to continue to be the second half as the same as the first half, potentially very mediocre, up and down. That jeopardises Europe, which then jeopardises getting our main targets. Adam Wharton wants Champions League football. Elliot Anderson will want Champions League football. We'll be left going for Belabor, who nobody wants, and he's desperate to sign for us. But that deal could be done in January. That deal could have been done in the summer. So why are we talking about our main targets aren't available in January when we know full well one of them is? 100%. So I think that, look, that to me, obviously we've spoken about the main news story from Butt and Scholes. That to me is one of the most significant. I mean, it's not more significant than beating Wolves. Of course it's not. But that's coming from a decent source who is, you know, basically fed information from the club high up that we're not going to do anything in January. We're looking to wait until the summer to go for targets that we might not even be able to get. On top of that, it could take us 2 or 3 transfer windows to get the players we need today. And 2 or 3 transfer windows is not January. I don't know why. I saw someone last night going, so, oh my God, it's ridiculous then. 2 or 3 transfer windows means next January because you got this January, this summer, and then next January. I was like, what? What? Don't include January. When United are talking about 2 or 3 transfer windows, they're talking about the ones they're active in. That's summer. So 2 or 3 transfer windows means summer 26, summer 27, summer 28. We're 3 years away from that. They're not talking about the January transfer window. We don't approach the January transfer window like it's a window. So 2 or 3 transfer windows means summer 26, summer 27, summer 28. That's how long the strategic plan for Manchester United is. And that's why the penny drops around Amorim. That's why they're talking about giving him 3 years, because they know they can't give Amorim what he needs for 3 years. So basically, we may as well put the bloody handbrake on and watch everybody have a good time going past us, because Amorim's here for 3 years and they're not going to buy him what he needs for 3 years. I mean, if that's the standards of Manchester United, God help us. God, there's going to be more Evertons. There's going to be more West Hams, because if we're going to take 3 years to give Amorim what he needed last summer, how the fuck is this going to get any better anytime soon? Like, I was reading some of the comments last night, and people were saying, this season's just about results. That's what this season's all about. It's just about results. And then in the summer, he's going to change everything. And I'm like, well, let's scratch the surface of positivity here. So he's, at the moment, my personal feeling is Luke Shaw, Dalot, Bruno, Casemiro, and there might be somebody else, but I can't think of them. They need moving out of the team or moving out of position, right? We scrape top 5. We get in the Champions League. You're telling me that Bruno and Casemiro are going to get removed. Dalot's going to get removed. And we're going to replace all 3 of those players in the summer. And then if we do replace those 3 players in the summer, it's another rebuild next year because you've just changed your whole midfield. I don't think that's the plan. I really don't think that's the plan. I think some people are trying to mask the truth and turn it into positivity. You know, you're trying to pretend that Amorim's plan is to get us in Europe, bin off all the players you don't like, and then next season we're going to cook with a load of new players. I guarantee you, if we get Champions League football, you'll still see Dalot starting games next season, you'll still see Bruno in the midfield next season, and you'll still see Luke Shaw at the back next season. Those 3 things, I guarantee you, you will see happen next season. So where's your progression there? What are you going to say next season when you're still seeing the same players play regularly that you are this year? Because I don't see that vision that some of you are going, you know, trying to preach that, yeah, we're gonna scrape top 5 this year with these players we don't like. And then in the summer, there's going to be a massive rebuild. And then next year, we're going to have a load of new players. And I think, what club have you been supporting for the last 2 years? At what point do United behave like that? And you've just had it from Andy Mitten. United are not planning on a major rebuild in the summer. They're talking about 2 to 3 transfer windows just to get what we need today. 2 to 3 transfer windows just to get 2 midfielders, a centre-back and a left wing-back. So I don't see that. So when we're talking about positivity. I hope it's going to all turn around, but that's the only word I have now, hope. And as I've said to you many times before, I'm not being guilt-tripped into being fake positive just because we've beaten Wolves and just because people want to pretend, like they always pretend, that we're going to have a great transfer window in the summer and build a new team. I don't see it. I really don't. I think if it's going to work, it probably is going to take 3 years. And why is it going to take 3 years? Why is that acceptable? Why are Wolves protesting outside their ground for 15 minutes and Man United fans are sat there going, hopefully this is going to happen. Hopefully this will work. Hopefully this will work. Like, we've lost our soul at this football club. We just sit there and let this shit happen in front of us. And also, I think that when you look at where we are, the standards are in the mud. As I said, I can't believe the standards of this football club. Like, I was listening to Amrim after the game yesterday, and he's still walking around with a miserable face, sort of like going, I half expected him to say, yeah, it's a good result, but we're still going to suffer. I'm like, we're Manchester United, for God's sake. I mean, can we not come out after beating Wolves 4-1 and say, now we need to go and win our next three? Even I can't say that. I think the standards have been lowered so much that Manchester United now, we're almost looking for sympathy after a Wolves game because we might lose to Bournemouth next week. You know, you just don't. And I'm like, fucking hell. You know, we used to lose a game when we were winning titles and it was a crisis. We win a game now and it's like, well, we don't know when the next one's going to happen. I'm like, God, we've got, I know we might lose a game, but it's Bournemouth, Villa and Newcastle and two of them are at home. Like, we need to go and win all three. And I don't think that's reflected in the way the manager was talking last night. It's like, we need to work harder. You know, he didn't say it, but I felt like, I just feel like it's just so miserable. There's no drive. There's no oomph. And I think that comes from the top. I think he probably knows, in fairness, exactly what's happening over the next 2 years. And I constantly go back to Todd Boehly at Chelsea, who, in a ridiculous short period of time, spent the money that they needed, you know, sold hotels, you know, got money into the club. And there's no passion at the club. There's no drive at the club. And apologies, but, you know, effectively, we're toxic because we've got standards now. We're being guilt-tripped because we've got standards. Basically, there are people in our fan base now trying to guilt-trip people who demand standards into being the cancer of the football club, the enemy of the football club. And all, you know, I could flip that and say, you're the cancer of the football club because you're basically backing the cancer of the football club, which is the Glazers and Ineos. You're actually basically allowing it to be acceptable that it's going to take 2 or 3 years to be decent again, that we don't need to spend in January, that shit football's good, you know. So look, there is a bit of division in the fan base at the moment. I don't mind that. It's all about debate. It's all about opinion. But I don't think people are being negative for negative sake. It's because the standards are on the absolute floor and you've got a decent journalist coming out saying, who is well tapped in at the club, that this is going to take basically 3 years to get players that we needed last summer in. We're not going to do anything in January and we're clearly going to stick with this manager. So I think that, you know, let the debate begin. Sorry, I'm getting interrupted here. So, yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, that conversation goes on. Now, look, I want to just talk. We are a news show. I am going to talk about the game last night, but we are a news show. I just want to bring this in. So, you know, because it is news. But I'm really pleased we got the Andy Mitten stuff in because I think that's really important. A couple of other bits before we talk about last night. Sesko has returned to training and shout out to Sam C because he did send me this. Basically, it's coming in from the agent of Sesko, who is saying that I don't know where that is now. Let me see if I can find it here. He hasn't deleted. Oh God, idiot. So Not Sam, me. I'd close the browser down. So Sesko's agent says return could come sooner than expected. Agent backs Ruben Amorim and claims Man United can be Premier League contenders within 2 years. Amorim described as honest, charismatic and an outstanding coach. Well, let's remove what he thinks about Amorim, because agent of player who's just signed for club praises manager. Shocker. Man United can be Premier League contenders within 2 years, not based on what we've just spoken about there, pal. And he could return sooner than expected, which is positive. That is a big, big positive. We do need Sesko back. I am starting to think after Bournemouth just how we're going to do over the next few weeks without Ahmad, who I think is playing well, despite what some people say. Mbeumo, I think, is a really important player for us. And Mazraoui started playing as well. So we're going to lose. You know, it's like having, to be blunt, I saw somebody say this in the chat last night, and it's true. Losing Ahmad, Mbeumo and Mazraoui, as much as we know it's going to happen and we knew it was going to happen, it's effectively like losing those three players for a month with injuries. And that is a crisis that we're going to have to deal with. And hopefully we're prepared for it because we knew it was going to happen. So having Sesko back, really, really important. Ahead of schedule, I don't really know what that means, because I was always under the impression he was meant to be back for Bournemouth, which is actually the middle of December. So I think we were always looking at that. But hopefully he will be back on the bench for the game against Bournemouth, and that would be welcome with obviously the AFCON stuff that's going to go on. So yeah, good news on Sesko. No real update on De Ligt, but I think De Ligt is meant to be back very, very soon. I think there was talk of him being back for the weekend from Amorim, and Maguire hopefully back soon as well. So if we can replace Ahmad, Mazraoui and Mbeumo with Sesko, De Ligt and Maguire being back, it goes some way to a certain extent of helping us there. Some people were talking about this, and look, it is news. So Garnacho doing an interview ahead of Chelsea's Champions League game. He says he was asked if he has any regrets over the way he left Manchester United for Chelsea in the summer. The 21-year-old had been at Man United for 5 years, but when asked if he had any regrets how it ended, he replied no. And pushed on if he was sad how it finished, he again said no. So I would say, do I have any regrets about how it ended with Garnacho? No. And was I sad with how it finished with him leaving Man United? No. And I'm sure a lot of you are saying the same. So look, we can all play that game. Why he's being asked about Man United when he's at Chelsea, you know, obviously he'll probably get more interaction than he will be in talking about Chelsea. But I mean, it's a two-way street. And ultimately, I don't think anybody has any regrets about him going to Chelsea. You know, it shows you how little United think of Garnacho, that they would let him go to a rival that are actually higher than us in the league last season and this season. So, you know, I just think crack on with your career, mate. Like, crack on. You might not have any regrets, but we don't have any regrets either. You messed it up. And, you know, if you're happy at Chelsea, that's absolutely fine. But Chelsea aren't bigger than Man United. And I'm not having a pop at Chelsea fans there, but you're not. You're not. We're on the telly every week and we're shit. Man United are bigger than Chelsea. So he blew it. Hopefully he can grow up and you know, be the talent I thought he was. But he needs to stop being associated with Manchester United. You're a Chelsea player. Stop talking about Man United. Simple. No, we don't regret you going either. So crack on. Maynou was dominated by Grimsby midfielders. Sell, says Mac.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to chumbacasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But that's literally what we're talking about, mate. The need to let him go in January. It doesn't matter whether you think it's whether you think he's good or shit. Let him go in January. Glazer Logic. We can get a lot of cash for Mainu, says Keel. Shortest Straw says, you missed my super chat. I didn't. I haven't read any yet. By the time we wait for the next three windows, Newcastle, Spurs, Villa we'll have to worry about, as the traditional four will be out of sight, says Luke Bennett. Hi, Mark. Only joined. Have you talked about Sir Jim and Jason's fight in the stands, says Adam. I mean, look, I'd like to get your input. Well, I'd like to get your input anyway, but I saw the picture of Sir Jim and Wilcox having a bit of what looked like an argument. But for me, the context is probably overblown. I mean, look, you could put two people together for 90 minutes and you could take a screenshot of what looks like an argument. I very much doubt that was an argument. I very much think that there'll be some release from Man United today to say they weren't arguing. They were just, you know, I don't think they were. I would love them to be arguing. I would love Sir Jim Radcliffe to be saying to Wilcox, you're doing shit at your job. Why are we playing so shit? You're fired. But I don't think that was happening at all. I really don't. Seth says, over a month and a half ago, after a good streak, that Amrim got a big swagger and confidence in interviews. Now he knows his light switch team, so no promises. Look, Seth, I mean, look, let's talk about where United are. Let's scratch the surface of, you know, could this be the start of something or is it just another false dawn? I think in defence of Amrim, and what people don't seem to understand is I can't stand his football. I don't like some of his decisions, but I do like him. And the best solution is that we get better. And I also think the best solution is, and I've said this so many times, is that he gets the season. I do. I'm not going to sit here and say he's the right guy. I don't believe in that. But, you know, I'm not an Amriminner or an Amarimmer. In the sense that, you know, no matter what, he's the right guy. I'm not that. And I'm not an Amrim outer saying sack him now or sack him next week. I don't think either of those things are actually useful. My stance is standards. And I think he has to be given the season because otherwise we've done this before in season and it never goes well. And there is literally no plan to replace him anyway. So I think he has to be given the season. But if he doesn't get Europe and he keeps playing like this, and based on some of the decisions he's already made around certain selections and favouritism, etc., I'd get rid of him in May. So that's where I am. And people seem to misinterpret or not listen to what I'm saying. I don't think now is the time to sack the manager. I think he has to be given the season. But I also agree, I don't see many positives. The football is crap. His decision-making is crap. And, you know, he's walking towards the sack. I said that after the Brentford game. And I said it after the Everton game. I don't think he'll be here in 18 months. I hope he is. I hope he is. I don't think it's going to help this football club to sack another manager, especially with this ownership. And you could easily say, well, look, he hasn't been given midfielders. But you could also say, well, he didn't get a midfielder because he kept Bruno. And I think that's really important, right? You know, I've said it myself. And you have to scratch the surface of positivity and say, how much blame do you apportion to him, the players and the manager and the owners? And I think the owners always take the biggest blame. There is a line of thought that he hasn't been given midfielders. And look, we did try to sign Belabor and we did try to sign Gallagher. So they didn't give him midfielders. I agree with that. But also, if he'd sold Bruno, he 100% would have got two midfielders. So you can't just say the owners didn't buy him a midfielder and they're not going to buy him a midfielder in January, because maybe they will get him a midfielder in January. But he also had a part to play in that. Like, he could have sold Bruno and bought two midfielders. Now, You look at the goals that Bruno scored last night and the assists against Palace and you go, well, you know, you're giving up a lot there. But Bruno gets those goals and assists if he's playing as a 10 anyway. So I go back to what I said in the summer. Not selling Bruno and playing him in the midfield was a mistake. Or you play Bruno as a 10 and you don't buy Cunha or Mbeumo and then you use that money on a midfielder. So again, there's nuance to the conversation. I completely agree that when Bruno Fernandes is playing as a 10, he brings a lot of goals and assists to the team. And we've seen that in the last 2 weeks. But Amrim's decision was to shoehorn Bruno into the midfield and not buy a midfielder. He could have kept Bruno as a 10 and not bought Cunha or Mbeumo and bought a midfielder. Or he could have sold Bruno, bought Cunha and Mbeumo and bought two midfielders. So Amrim's got a pot to play in that. Of course he does. Cool says, you're just assuming he would have got two midfielders. Do you really think it would have happened? Mate, if we'd sold Bruno for £90 million, that's £90 million on top of what we spent on Sesko, Mbeumo, Cunha and Lemens. So we would have had the money for at least one midfielder. And, you know, I'm saying two, but if you add one plus Casemiro, Ugarte and Mainoo, you're in the same position that we're in now. So he could have bought a midfielder is what I'm trying to say. Any player that plays next to Bruno looks bad because he wanders and we lose defensive shape. McTominay, Fred, Pogba, Casemiro, Ugarte, Mainoo does not have the athleticism to cover for a guy who chases the ball like a number seven, says Greg. Look, if you watched the game last night with Bruno, my man of the match, I think he was voted man of the match on socials. Apart from their goal, when we're defending, he doesn't play like a midfielder anyway. He's got no, I mean, I don't know what the word is. I think Amrim gives him a free role, which is incredible when you've got two other number 10s, but he basically was playing as a number 10. Now, a lot of that's probably because Wolves are shit. He would not be able to do that against Man City. He wouldn't be able to do it against Arsenal. He wouldn't be able to do it against Villa, but he basically played as a number 10 last night because, you know, there was so many good balls and obviously his goal, and he was basically playing as a 10 last night. And I heard some prat last night say, this is Amrim's system in full flow. Bruno's not meant to be a midfielder. He's meant to be a 10. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. We were playing Wolves who are shit and couldn't attack a yogurt. And Bruno just went into a free roll as another number 10 because they were so shit. He wouldn't be able to do that against a disciplined midfield. Like, he would never be able to do what he was doing last night against most of this league. But he did show again why he should be playing as a 10 in my mind. Did Mark really read out United plan to bring in three or four players over three transfer windows? Man City spent a cool £200 million in January on four players to score Champions League, says Rajab. Exactly. Patrick Lynch says, being incapable to do any sort of deals in January mean that tells me they don't have the expertise to do the job. Seeing the quality of the Premier League, two good buys help us in getting Europe. How don't they see that is criminal? Yeah, no, I think there's a direct correlation between that, Patrick. I mean, look, there's a lot of people this morning that are talking about the league table and saying how competitive it is this year and how Man United have got a great chance of getting in the top four. We're sixth place at the moment on 25 points, but 10th place Liverpool are on 23. And everyone's looking ahead and going, we're 1 point off fourth. We're 1 point off fourth and Crystal Palace. We're only 5 points off third, which is actually quite a lot, 5 points to be fair. But we're only 2 points off 10th. And people are trying to make out that this season it's really competitive. Last season, right? This season, fifth place, 25 points. 10th place, 23 points. Last season, fifth place, 25 points. 10th place, 23 points. There is a complete and utter replication of this season and last season. The only difference is Liverpool are at the top with 36. Arsenal are at the top with 33. But fifth place last year was Forest on 25. Fourth place was Man City on 27. Fifth place this year is Chelsea on 25. Fourth place this year is Palace on 26. 10th place last year is Fulham on 23. 10th place this year is Liverpool on 23. So the league table isn't any different. It's going to change over the coming weeks. It's going to start to separate. Are we going to be going with that pack at the, you know, we've got six more points this year than last year, by the way. I think that's very important. We had 19 last year. We've got 25 this year. Again, some people are seeing that as a sign of improvement. I would say what the hell do you expect? We sacked a manager in November last year. I would fucking expect us to have more points than last year this year. People are actually going around going, well, we're doing better than last year. We've got 25 points instead of 19. And you're like, oh my God. Oh my God. We sacked the manager that started the season in early November. I would expect us to have more points this season than last year because we sacked a manager based on the start to the season we had. So look, we are doing better than last year, but let's not forget we did sack Ten Hag for a 3-month bad start to the season. So context is key. There is a slight improvement, but also we've had Amrim all season. Last year, we only had Amrim for like a few weeks before the 15th game. So, you know, the key is going to be the next 5 games, I think. Where will we be in 5 games' time? Where will we be in 10 games' time? And as I say, scratching the surface of positivity, I still say that what I said last night, the big thing that worries me is vision. Winning games is great. It's great to win games, but are we now living game to game? You know, not knowing where our next meal's coming from? Or are we actually Manchester United who should be able to map out success over the next 6 months? Not doing something in January like Patrick thinks says is really concerning. And I still don't think we're playing good football. I still think he's not really showing us a vision. And I don't expect that vision to change massively in the summer if he scrapes European football. I think he'll stay loyal to his favourites. There's one thing about Amrim, he's stubborn. And there's one thing about Amrim, he's loyal. If these players get him European football, I can see Maguire, Casemiro getting new contracts, Bruno staying. I can see the same shit next year. And that's what worries me. I want to see a vision. I want to see Man United evolving into a football team that can go and win 4 or 5 games on the bounce, play good football. I want to see players that are going to be here for the next 5 or 6 years. You know, I want to see Sesko playing more regularly when he's back. I mean, the midfield is the midfield. I'd love to see Maynou playing, but you know, I want to see Heaven playing more regularly. I want to see Yoro getting back in the team. I want to see a vision and I want to see good football. And I'm sorry, but Wolves' win doesn't massively change that to me. At halftime, the camera showed Jim, Wilcox and Berarda. Jim looked unhappy and concerned. And honestly, he's got himself to blame, says John. Well, if it was at halftime, maybe there was something in it then. Because at halftime yesterday, I think a lot of us were very depressed. Yeah. JMR says that 60 million was going to be taken out of our summer budget, Mark. Even Beth reported it at the time. Yeah, I don't, you know, Beth's brilliant, but she doesn't work on the board of Manchester United and she doesn't have access to the financials. So that was always speculation about Belaba. Look, the Belaba deal would have been structured in a way where we would have probably given them 20 million like we did with Mbeumo, but it was still there and whatever you're justifying, it's still there. So, you know, it's still there. We were going to spend it in the summer, so it's still there. And how do you take it out of the summer budget when you buy him in? How can it come out of the summer budget? Wouldn't even make any sense unless we sold a player before the end of June. There's a financial year that runs from July the 1st to June the 30th. If we'd bought Belaba in the summer, there would have been some payment to Brighton, which we would have to have. And that's what we're saying. I wouldn't care who the manager gets rid of as long as we're winning, but that's the problem. We are not. So we fans get worried about who leaves, says Frank. Sorry a minute. I've got a little bit of a... Stacey Marshall says, are you getting Solskjaer vibes from Amrim? No. No, I think there's a lot of difference between them. Perform now. If you're lucky, you might get what you needed later. What the fuck? How can any manager work like this? We're the two most valuable clubs. We must act like it, says Raphael. Maynou not starting is odd, but why isn't Yoro starting? Heaven should be eased into the team, not thrown into a struggling side. I thought Heaven played really well, Slazy, yesterday. I did. Feel same I did pre-match. Needs to go. Not good enough, says Simply Red. Are any of us thinking and telling Amrim, giving them a few minutes, pure profit on youngsters like Maynou, Heaven, as he barely plays under 25, says Plankster. Mountain Shore having a great season. We should use it to cash in on them in the summer. Also, sack Amrim, benching our future players, says Shortest Straw. Interesting you played Shaw and Martinez together, says Robert McCormack. And can we check Maynou's injury record, says Honk. Maynou does the basics well, but doesn't lose the ball. We need him more than ever. Was sad seeing that last night. Would save Amrim's job as well, says Raphael. Barca fans are so cringe for flooding JJ's comments, says Rajaf. and we proved we're a level above the championships, says Honk. Three losses, three draws, two wins when he hasn't played, says Robert McCormack. I think he's talking about Mason Mount. Naveed says, Naveed, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much for getting your badge in. One loss in nine, but only two wins from six. Work to do, says Matthew Watkinson. And Reese says, a training session for them would have been harder than last night. The next three games will truly show where we are as a team. Yeah, I agree. Let's just, you know, I'm very much like, if we can come through the next three games with some results, you'll have a very different me sat in front of you. I'd be very positive if we took 7 points from the next nine. Very positive, because, you know, whatever you say about Bournemouth, they're not Wolves. And Newcastle and Villa are good sides. So if we can come through those games with 7 points, we're in a completely different position. I think then you are going to say there's progress. But yeah. Forza says, finally, I catch alive. You're very welcome, sir. I want to talk about Mason Mount very, very quickly, because Robert McCormack's very active this morning, which is, you know, he's obviously feeling very excited. I just want to say this around Mason Mount. I thought, I was very surprised he didn't get man of the match in our player ratings last night. I was very, very surprised. And he probably did deserve it. I gave it to Bruno because Bruno got two goals and an assist. And I thought he, you know, was basically playing as a number 10. And I enjoyed Bruno's performance yesterday. But Mount did play very well. And I thought he might have got it. But the interesting thing about Mason Mount is, and I think, look, we can all have opinions, and I think opinions sometimes are stronger than facts, because opinions we're passionate about. But I woke up this morning and I saw a few people saying Mason Mount's the future. Mason Mount's so important to this Man United side. And maybe that is true. Maybe it is true. Maybe a fit Mason Mount is important to this Manchester United side. But forgive me for just not jumping on the bandwagon, because I did a little bit of stats, right? And I looked at this. So this season, Mason Mount has played 584 minutes. And Mbeumo has played 1,350. So Mason Mount has played 42% of the game time Mbeumo's played. And I think Mbeumo's been on the pitch more than most people. So Mason Mount's been available for 42% of our minutes this season. 42%. And it feels like he's been available a lot longer. But he's only been available for 42% of our time this season. And we're only playing one game a week. Last season, Bruno Fernandes played 4,900 minutes. Mason Mount played 952. He was available for 19%. Of the available minutes last season. 19%. The season before that, Onana played 4,600 minutes. Mason Mount played 756. He was available for 17% of those overall minutes. So the average availability of Mason Mount, comparable to those who played the most minutes each season across 3 years, is 26%. 26%. Even this season, he's not played 50% of our minutes. So this is the problem with Mason Mount. And I don't know how you solve that problem, because he's not 30. He's in his mid-20s. And over the last three seasons, he's not been available for even 50% of the minutes that everyone else is playing. It's not his fault, John. You're absolutely right. It's not his fault, but I don't think you can sit there and say he's fundamental to the future of Manchester United when he's not going to be available for 50% of the games. I don't know what we do. I think he's just got to be a cameo player, really. So look, I think he probably did deserve man of the match last night, and he played very, very well. But if we think he's going to be a fundamental part of United's future, I think you've got to look at the last 3 years and go, this is a guy that's approaching his late 20s. It's very unlikely that percentage is going to go higher than 50% over the next 3 years. It's, you know, he is available more this season, but it's still not 50%. So I don't think he's a player that we can go, if we get into Europe, he's going to become one of the most important players and he's going to play every game. I think he's always going to be a player that probably plays 70 minutes a week. And if there's two games, that's not a lot of minutes. So MUFC21 says he's played 12 of the last 15 games. But, mate, that's a manipulation of the stats, and you know it is. You know, that's toxic positivity. With, you know, playing 12 of the last 15 games, you're manipulating everybody there, and you know you are. You're trying to spin a positive, and your name's not even Robert McCormack. He's played 584 minutes, and Mbeumo has played 1,350. That doesn't translate to being available for 13 out of the 15 games, does it? It's about how many minutes you're on the pitch. And I think Leon's right. We're probably just going to have to get comfortable with the fact that Mount's going to be a great bench player, and anything more than that is a positive. But, sadly, it doesn't look like the evidence is there that we can really wake up this morning and go, Mason Mount's a massive part of our starting 11 for the future, because I just don't see how we're going to get those minutes out of him. Unless we get a miracle. I mean, look, Reece James is playing a lot of minutes for Chelsea now. I never thought that would happen. Medical science can improve, but yeah, I think it's really eye-opening when you see just how few minutes he's played for Manchester United over the last 3 years and how we're clearly managing his minutes better now, but it's still not even 50% of the minutes that he could have played. And that's sad, because I think when you look at, I know it's only Wolves, but I think he has played well this season in other games. I think if he could play, if you could go into every game and say Mason Mount's capable of playing 90 minutes in this game and 90 minutes in the next game, I think that changes it. I mean, I saw somebody this morning saying that the toughest problem Aram's got is how he gets Mason Mount, Cunha and Mbeumo into the same team. And I'm like, well, it's not that tough, is it? Because he's not going to be available enough to be competing for 90 minutes every week, which is a shame. Hugo says, Nuno Mendes, Nunes, Kenda, Iñaccio, Amrin bets on youth since forever. Maybe Mainoo's attitude just sucks. School of Garnacho and Rashford, says Hugo. Robert McCormack says the difference is staggering when he doesn't start. I think you might be onto something, mate. I'm not saying that. I just think it's sad. And obviously, I don't know what your thoughts are on it, Robert, as his number one fan. What are your thoughts on those minutes, and what do we do about it? I don't think we can increase them. I don't think we can. Mainoo deserves a chance at another club, says Planzo. Thank you very much. Hugo Oliveira saying that, I need to go back to this. So Hugo Oliveira saying that Amrin bets on youth since forever. Maybe Mainoo's got an attitude problem. I think that's a disgusting thing to say. You're entitled to say it. We're not going to delete it. And some people have liked it. But I think that's really disgusting, because you're basically backing Amrim's youth record and tainting Mainoo's attitude with no evidence. No evidence. And that's dangerous, because you can't just say Mainoo's got a bad attitude and that's why he's not in the team. Maybe he's like Garnacho. That's really unfair. And I know these players deserve a lot of criticism over the years, but one thing we can't do is, when there's a leak, we can't just say it's a player we don't like. We can't just say Mainoo's got a bad attitude because other players had a bad attitude. Every single source, every single player, even Amrim interviews say that Mainoo's a good lad. And I know people who know Mainoo, and I don't think he is the sort of guy that's, in China White doing stuff, nightclubs in Manchester. I don't think he is that type of kid at all. So I'd be very surprised if it's an attitude issue. And I think it's very unfair to throw that around. I think what it is, Hugo, is that Amrim doesn't rate him as a footballer. And I think that's a fairer assumption than he's got an attitude problem. I think it's just from day one, Amrim's never really used Mainoo, so he clearly doesn't rate him. As for the youth thing at Sporting, well, look, what Amrim did at Sporting is completely irrelevant, isn't it? Because Sporting played good football, we don't. He used young players at Sporting, we don't. Ten Hag played good football at Ajax. He didn't at Man United. So what he did at Sporting is becoming less and less relevant the further and further away he gets from it. He's a year into his journey at United. We're not seeing anything that looks like Sporting. I mean, Sporting very rarely played a back five We look like we're doing it most games. I do remember about a year, well, it was longer than a year ago when they played City in Portugal. He did play a back five in that game and they counted ridiculously well. But predominantly that wasn't how they played. So, look, the youth thing is more important to some people than it is to me. I would like to see Man United using the youth more, but I also agree that he's, you know, he is results driven. But we saw last night that Heaven played really well. And, you know, I think you need to, it's a balancing act being a Man United manager, but you need to show, I think the most important thing is results. Then it's performance. Then it's a vision. And at the moment, he's not showing a vision to me. He's not showing performance to me. But results are sporadic. And I think that helps him. He's surviving on results at the moment, Amorim. You know, he's not surviving on a vision or good football. He's surviving on results. If he'd lost or drawn last night, we'd be having a very different conversation because the result would cause him problems. The performance and the vision isn't there. And everybody I speak to pretty much has their own opinion. But most people, even the positive people, all they can talk about is the result. And that is correct. Like, results are what are helping him out at the moment. But when the results aren't there, West Ham, Everton, he can't fall back on a vision or performance. There isn't one that we can see. He probably thinks he has one, but we're not getting good performances and we're not getting a vision of what the future is. So he has to get results, because as soon as the results slip away, that's why there's a pile on. There's a very good point from somebody in the live chat about half an hour ago. They said, why is it like that all the time? We win a game, some people are positive, some people are negative. We lose or draw a game and everybody's negative. And that's because we're surviving on results. The results dictate the mood. If you win, some people are just happy with that and say, stop moaning. If you draw or lose, people aren't happy with that and they're not happy with the performance and they're not happy with the vision. So that's where, that, you know, it's always like that at the moment. I mean, we could go to Villa in a couple of weeks, draw 3-3, play really well, and I don't think they'd be moaning, because people would go, we've played really well, we've shown a performance, and it's not a bad result. But if we go to Villa and draw 0-0, and Villa are shit and we're shit, people will go, oh God, it's another shit performance. And that's, look, results are always number one, and we're surviving on results, but performance and a vision are relevant. Because when you have your draws or a loss, if you played well and you showed a vision, you'll have more people on your side. And that's something that, you know, last night we did play well, but obviously there's that big Wolves thing. Fantastic show this morning. Really enjoyed it. I have got an 8 o'clock show tonight. I know it's Champions League night, but I have got an 8 o'clock show for you tonight, because I will have Liverpool Inter on, but it will be on my TV here whilst doing the United Stand, because Seb's got his Christmas play tonight and he's got a big role. So I'm going to go and watch that, because that life's too short and you can't miss stuff like that. So I wouldn't have time to do a United Stand show at 6 or 6:30. So I'm just going to do United Stand at 8 and bin off the Liverpool game, because you're more important. So there will be an 8 o'clock show tonight. We've got a show at 10 as well, at 2 as well. Take care, everyone. I'll speak to you in a bit. And I'm over on Football Terrace now, reacting to some general football news. So I'll see you over there in a minute. Thank you very much. Take care.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.